The Legends Radio Network now presents Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Webb.
The program is Lyrics and Legends. We got another great episode coming up, and normally I have my sidekick, Buck Weatherby. He's AWOL. I don't know where he's at. So anyway, if you're over on the north side of town, see Buck, tell him he's missing out on his chance to be on another great episode of Lyrics and Legends. I got a call from one of our contributors, dear friends, and they said, you got to get this guy on the radio with you. This was a few weeks back, and so we've been trying to set this one up, and it took us a few weeks to get done. And I told the guy to keep him anonymous, but it was Troy Gandy, so I outed him. So anyway, Troy told me that I needed to contact a friend of his who's a keyboard player that lives down in the Killeen, Texas area, Uncle Mitch Connell. He called you Uncle Mitch. Is that all right, Mitch?
Yeah, that's fine. Everybody calls me that.
All right. First thing, I was like, this guy's got to be a good guy. He likes to play music, and he's a car dealer. So, you know, we have a connection going on there. Let's talk about cars.
Yeah, that's two
strikes. Let's talk about cars a little bit.
Let's do it.
So we're, you live in Killeen? Or?
I live in Belton. My car dealerships are in Killeen and in Cameron, Texas.
Okay. And you grow up there?
I did.
All right. So you've been in the
born here.
Car business how long?
Well, I grew up in it. My uncle and father were both in it, so I've been in it since I was about 12.
Now, I don't want to give your age, but how old are you?
I'm only 62.
Okay. So, well, I got a similar background. My uncle, my dad, my grandpa were all in the car business, so I didn't want to get a real job, so I just followed in their footsteps. So.
Somehow you seem to work harder at this than you do in a real job, I found.
Yeah, I think that's the way it worked out, but that wasn't my intention when I started. So. But you grew up in the car business down there, and first of all, I want to talk about that a little bit. I know our listeners are probably going, hey, we tuned in to listen to some music. We'll get to that, trust me, but talk a little bit about growing up in a car dealership family.
Well, back in the old days, the early days, like, they didn't have a blue law, so Mom and Dad both worked 7 days a week. So I had a nanny, and so she raised me like she would have her own kid. That's why I kind of started off doing rhythm and blues type music.
Yeah,
that was my favorite to begin with, Motown and stuff like that.
That's awesome. So you kind of got that influence going on early. Did you, now primarily you take, or you play keyboard, right?
I do.
And so did you start lessons pretty early, or was she the one that taught you how to play the keyboard?
No, I just kind of got the vibe from her. She wasn't musical at all. I took lessons starting when I was about 6 years old.
Okay, and that kind of led. Now, did you perform a lot when you were younger publicly, or was that just something you did to learn to play music? Or?
Yeah, no, I performed. I performed in recitals, and when I was very young, I got an opportunity to actually study under a professor at the local college, which had a TV station, and I played some recitals on TV.
So that was a great springboard to get you into performing, huh?
Yeah, made me nervous, even though there was maybe two or three people watching that channel. But
it may be the same way with the people listening here. But so.
Yeah, one of them was my mother.
Yeah, well, that's good to know Mom was at least interested in your music career. But
she was instrumental in it.
That's good. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, when I was very young, a young teenager, I was very interested in playing the country music by then, and I had opportunities, but I wasn't old enough to drive, and I certainly wasn't old enough to get into the honky-tonks. So my mother would sneak me in the back door of the honky-tonks and drop me off. And since I was normally having to go to school, I'd play until probably midnight, and I'd come back out to that same back door where she'd be waiting for me when I got finished. And I did that a lot of weekends growing up. Finally, I got the driver's license, and I was able to drive myself and sneak myself in the back door. But
that's great.
That's where I cut my teeth in the country world.
That's so funny. I just think how many moms were like, yeah, I'm going to take my kid and drop him off at the honky-tonk so he can go play. Most of them are probably trying to figure out how to keep him out of there. But anyway.
She was different like that.
That's really good. So when you were playing earlier, were you doing a lot of opening acts, or were you just kind of on your own playing those honky-tonks? Or
that early on, it was just playing cover music in the honky-tonks with old-timers that were, well, actually, they weren't old. They were all in their 30s, but I was a teenager. some of them are still alive, and I stay in touch with them, but they were top-notch musicians back in the day. And as a matter of fact, one of them that I played with Freddie Fender and Junior Brown. And
oh, man.
Back in those days. And I missed a gig with Freddie Fender when I was like 17, or it might have changed the whole course of my life.
That may be a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Probably was.
We had, and I don't know if you've met him or not, but we had Augie Myers as a guest on our program. Augie was a keyboard player with Freddie on when they were doing the Texas Tornadoes? Or
they were the Texas Tornadoes, and I was in a cover band called the Texas Twisters, and we were double billed on a couple of shows in College Station, Texas a few years back. I know Augie, and I know the rest of them there, but that was a lot of fun. We had a good time that day.
I can tell you, Augie is a fun person to interview. He he had us rolling from the time the tape started until the thing was over with. We had a really good time visiting with him. He had no reason to talk to us other than we were dumb enough to email him and ask him, and he came on, and we're really glad that he took time to do that. It was a lot of fun, a really good interview.
Colorful guy.
He is. More recently, I want to get into some music. You've been touring and doing a lot of music in the Texas music scene. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I first got started in the Texas music scene with a guy named Chris Wells. And I didn't tell you about him. I didn't make any records with him, but I played his original music for a couple of years. And then I started playing with Granger Smith when he was first starting out. He had just come home from Nashville to finish his college career at Texas A&M, and he started a band, and we played all of the music that he had written, and it was pretty good stuff. So we started making records and, you know, pitching them to radio and touring all over the state and trying to get people to come and watch us play. It was a lot of fun.
How'd you get connected with Granger?
A guy I grew up with and played music from the time I was a teenager, early young teenager, was the bass player in his band at the time, and he talked him into recruiting me, and I stayed with him for 5 years.
All right. So you did most of the touring you did, was it around that College Station area, or were you guys traveling quite a bit?
No, we traveled all over. We played in Tennessee and Louisiana and Oklahoma, Washington, D.C., France. We went all over the place.
Man, yeah, that's pretty cool. I want to get a little music in here. We're probably far enough in. Everybody's tired of listening to me and wants to hear something. So this first song I think we want to do, how about we do 5 more minutes about Granger Smith? Does that sound like a good one to you?
Yeah, that's a great song. He wrote that song about his grandfather, but it turned out that his father and my father both passed away within about 3 weeks of each other, and went a long time without being able to perform that song because of it became too emotional.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Hey, Mitch, we're going to listen to 5 more minutes by Granger Smith, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with more Lyrics and Legends.
Granddad in 44, overseas fighting in the war. He was the pilot of a B-24 and father of my dad. If he hadn't made it home okay, then I wouldn't be here today. It wasn't until he passed away that I realized what I had. Precious time he can't have back. I wish I had 5 more minutes, one more time with him, to share a cup of coffee with him and hear his voice again. I tell him that I loved him and he would know how much I meant it, 'cause you can love a lifetime in 5 more minutes. When I think about college days, it's not just the class you take. No, it's more about the buddies you make. You'll remember all your life. And when we all finished school, one did what he was born to do. Served his country for me and you, and sacrificed his life, and we still miss him all the time. I wish I had 5 more minutes, one more time with him, to share a cup of coffee with him and hear his voice again. I'd tell him what a friend he was, and he would know I meant it, 'cause you can love a lifetime in 5 more minutes. I drove to see my dad yesterday. When it was time to go, I changed my mind and told him, wait, give me 5 more minutes, if that's all right with you, and share a cup of coffee with me, yeah, that's the least that I can do. I told him that I loved him, and he sure knew I meant it, 'cause you can love a lifetime. 5 more minutes. It only takes 5 more minutes.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with me from Belton, Texas, I've got Uncle Mitch Connell on the phone, and got to be a good guy because he's a car dealer. And so anyway, we got connected by a mutual friend. The song we just listened to was 5 More Minutes. Man, I can see how that would be a tough follow-up after you laid your dad to rest and Granger went through the same thing.
Yes, it was a good song. It's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
But it does remind you to say hello to the people you love all the time.
You bet. So you said when you first hooked up with Granger. Now, I listened to a really good, Granger's got his own podcast. Talk a little bit about that, because I think y'all talked a little bit about some of your touring when I listened to that.
Okay, well, Granger does a podcast, you know, periodically with people that have helped shape his life, and it eventually got around to me, and we talked about some of the stories that happened back when he was just starting off. He was just a kid. He was about 25, and of course, his whole band, we were all in our 40s, but there was one time we were playing in a honky-tonk down near the coast, the Gulf of Mexico, and there was this guy that owned the little honky-tonk that had hired us, and his brother-in-law, and the brother-in-law didn't really care for the original music. He wanted to hear something different, and he kept being very vocal about it. Anyways, long story short, he got mad and went and told his brother on us, and the brother acted like he didn't want to pay us. We called those two guys Bug Eye and Shrek because that's who they reminded us of. Anyways, I was able to convince them to pay us, and we got out of there with quickness. But
now I've seen a couple of pictures
that happened.
I've seen a couple of pictures. I think of you on Facebook. Maybe you're not a small guy. I would say maybe, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'm 6'2" and about 300 pounds.
I can see you being able to maybe convince them to come through and pay the band.
Well, I was much younger then, too, so I might not have been quite 300, but I was still 6'2".
Yeah. And you guys went from playing just small honky-tonks and dives to hitting some pretty – talk about the progression from when you guys were doing these smaller venues and then somebody –
Well, I remember we got a call from Fort Hood that wanted us to play for the homecoming of 1st Cavalry Division. And so suddenly we're cast into playing for a crowd of 12,000, and the vice president was there. And it was really cold, but it was an attentive audience and really patriotic, and I felt really good about it. But we ended up getting an invitation to play at the White House, and we played there 3 times while George Bush was president.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you're the second guest.
Not to meet the president.
I think you're the second guest I've had on here that's played at the White House, so that's a pretty good honor. You didn't pull a Willie Nelson and smoke a joint on the roof or anything?
No, but I did get scolded by the Secret Service for taking video outside on the South Lawn.
No, you did.
He made me erase it.
Oh, he did. No kidding.
Yeah. But I got to meet the president, and I got to meet Condoleezza Rice And she's very attractive, by the way. And she also plays the piano.
Really? I'm going to call her for an interview and see if she'll come on.
I'm sure she'll do it.
The next song you guys did with Granger that I've got on my list, and if you want to go somewhere else on this, just steer me in the right direction, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. These are just things that are coming up to me. For Granger, you said you predominantly did keys and backup vocals on Living Like a Lone Star, We Bleed Maroon, Don't Listen to the Radio, Pockets of
Pesos. Right, that's a good story on a good Don't Listen to the Radio, if you want to hear it.
That's where I'm headed. Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, we decided to make a music video because Granger specialized in songs about women breaking up with him or breaking his heart, and this song was no different. So we decided to do a music video because the song was popular on the Texas charts. In fact, it hit number one, and I think it was around 2009. So we made a music video. Well, he had to hire an actress to play the part of the love interest that, you know, leaves him in the video. Boy, he found a pretty one, and she came over and did the parts and all that. And my wife was here. We did the video at my house, and my wife kept encouraging him to ask her out because he was never going to find anybody that pretty. And well, so he did, and now they've been married about 10 years, have a couple of kids, and
that's a great story. Your house was kind of under construction at that time, wasn't it? I mean, at least maybe.
It wasn't quite finished yet. If you look closely at the video, you can see some pipes sticking out of the ground where they were plumbing the swimming pool.
All right. So, hey, we're going to take a listen to, and this is not a plug. This is, I struggled with this a little bit since we are radio, but anyway, we're going to play Don't Listen to the Radio by Granger Smith with Uncle Mitch Connell on the keyboard and some vocals here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Like to drive fast, don't listen to the state trooper. If you like to drink slow, don't listen to the bartender. If you don't like the cold hard truth, don't listen to the 6 o'clock news. Yeah, I've got a thing or two I've learned. And don't listen to the radio if you got your heart broke, 'cause it always knows exactly what to play. You're bound to hear a love song reminding you she's gone, 'cause you did her wrong and drove her away. So do all you do to get her out of your head, you know. But wherever you go, don't listen to the radio. If you like to light a smoke, don't listen to your mom's teaching. If you don't believe in God, don't listen to the gospel preaching. If you're happy with the world you see, don't listen to your TV. But let me tell you what I've learned from me and her. Don't listen to the radio if you got your heart broke, 'cause it always knows exactly what to play. You're bound to hear a love song reminding you she's gone, 'cause you did her wrong and drove her away. So do all you do to get her out of your head, you know. But wherever you go, don't listen to the radio. Forgotten to remember, moved on to live without her, and had one little song take me back. So don't listen to the radio if you got your heart broke, cause it always knows exactly what to play. Yeah, you're bound to hear a love song reminding you she's gone, cause you did her wrong and drove her away. So do all you do to get her out of your head, you know, but wherever you go, don't listen to the radio. Don't listen to the radio. Don't listen to the radio.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with me, Uncle Mitch Connell from Belton, Texas. That song we just listened to is Don't Listen to the Radio by Granger Smith. So a lot of our listeners may remember that one. That was a pretty big hit in the Texas music scene just a few years back. Mitch, thanks for joining us again tonight, and really enjoying catching up with you and hearing some of these stories about touring and some of the music that you've performed.
I've had a good time.
We got another one coming up. We kind of wanted to visit with you a little bit and get your thoughts on Mark Allen Atwood, another performer that you've appeared with.
Oh, yes. He's quite the singer and songwriter. He wasn't as popular as Granger was, but he sure did write a good song, and he had some good records. We made some good records back in the day. Had a good producer. He was a Grammy Award winner that had done some producing for the Dixie Chicks. And so he put together a real good record for us, and we played nothing, no digital instruments. Everything was acoustic instruments, except for the guitars.
Right.
I played piano, organ, honky-tonk piano, electric piano, the old school one, like a Wurlitzer, and
yeah,
a clavinet on that record. But California was a story about a guy that goes to California to, I guess, mine for gold back in the gold rush. And he decided that in the middle of it, he just wanted to maybe just take off on a little piano interlude, just solo. And so you'll hear it. That's what I came up with in one try. So it's an interesting song. It's an interesting story. And I think anybody that likes old westerns would probably like this song just because it's a great story.
Okay, let's listen to California by Mark Allen Atwood, and tell us, you did this, the keyboard's in the middle of this primarily, right? Or?
Yeah, it's just a piano solo on a pretty old Steinway grand piano in the studio in Austin that I played it on. It was it's a very nice sounding piano, so it's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did this record just so I could kind of showcase a little creativity.
All right, let's listen to California by Mark Allen Atwood and Mitch Connell, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Well, they came just a few brave men, most seeking gold. The mountains held riches and treasures untold. But the mountain laid many young men in their grave. And still they came on like a moth to a flame. Well, my name is John Abel, and I'm here for the land. They gave me a stake that I could build with my own hands. And just to keep my wife and my baby boy safe, I took a job digging up in old man Bodie's cave. California, you're always right there with me, like a spirit. day from the mountain, there came a rumbling sound. The mine had caved in, taken 12 good men down. But no one remembers the lives lost that day, 'cause when the earth opened up, it laid them in a golden grave. Well, the news traveled fast, and the companies, they came, bringing 10,000 overnight. Our town was not the same. And the churches all closed down to make more room for the bars, full of sweat and desperation and nighttime roses and their scars. California, you're always right there with me, like a spirit haunting me, it seems. Somewhere in the night is when it hits me, between daylight and my dreams. Grandfather's son, there is no doubt, as I wake up cold and shiver, I'm back up on that mount. Through a crack in the earth and wood, I see the stars so cold, and above my dying body, I hear them moving out in new gold. California, right there with me, like a spirit haunting me, it seems. Somewhere in the night is when it hits me, between daylight and my dreams.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with me, Mitch Connell from Belton, Texas, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I'm a music guy, you're a car guy and a music guy, so it's fun to get to visit with you and kind of find out all the common interests. Your uncle and dad were in the car business, my uncle, my dad, my grandfather were in the car business, so I knew this is one we needed to get on in the books so we could get this on the air. And one of the things that interests me when I talk to somebody is the touring aspect. First, you've got a full-time dealership that's a pretty big dealership down in the Fort Hood, Killeen area, and then you've got this music career where you're trying to balance everything and tour with these Texas music guys. You went to France, to the White House. Talk a little bit about the touring part of the performing and how you balanced all that with trying to manage dealerships and the whole whole deal, Mitch?
Okay, well, I got the dealership up and running pretty good. I've been doing it a long time, so I've got key people that run it for me. So I'm able to kind of come and go as I please, or at least during the last decade, you know, up until about 2008. So I was, you know, working 3 or 4 days and then playing all weekend. But we went to France. I got to tell you about France. They have a rodeo over there, believe it or not. It's just like our rodeos we have here, except you don't understand the announcer. I mean, it's exact. Had a big tent where we had the Texas music artists. It was us and Gary P. Nunn and Sonny Sweeney. And there was this swing band that came in from Normandy. And apparently the lead singer had spent a lot of time trying to emulate Ray Benson. And he did a really good job of it. You couldn't tell he was French. It sounded just like Sleep at the Wheel.
Oh, wow.
So great. But we played that show for a couple of days. And they actually... at the hotel we stayed at, they put the Texas flag on the top of the flagpole and the French flag below it.
Whoa.
Which I found that quite odd. But they sure do like Texas music down there. I remember everybody had a Willie Nelson shirt or a George Strait shirt. Women had Texas earrings, you know, state of Texas earrings, and some Barcelona rednecks were there that had traveled a long ways. It was great.
That's funny. And Gary P., I bet that was a fun deal getting to play with him. Have you met him and been acquainted with him a while? Or?
Yes, I've met him a few times. I've played with him since. But our drummer used to be his drummer back way in the back in the 70s.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's funny how some of this intertwines, because we've had more than one guest who has either played with Gary P. or Ray Wiley or, you know, some of those guys, and kind of been in and out and then ended up, you know, moving on, going a different direction or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. There's a song by Mark Allen Atwood I want to get in here, One Horse. Talk a little bit about this and kind of what role you had in this, and give us a little background on it.
For some reason, he decided he wanted to make that duet with another guy, so he actually brought Bart Crow into the studio. But the song cried out for three vocals, so it was Mark and Bart and me.
Okay.
And I think it's one of his best songs. It only made it to the 30s or so on the Texas chart, but it sure was a great song, and it's got a good message about, you know, small towns that we grew up in, and just like your town of Shamrock.
You bet. Yeah.
It's kind of like a Shamrock, Texas, really.
Good. And I know that'll strike a chord with our listeners. So let's listen to One Horse. We'll be back with more Mitch Connell right after this.
Been 17 years in this old town. Watch the sun come up, watch the sun go down. And I've seen everything change and everything stay the same. One horse town. gonna bury me 6 blocks down on Johnson Street. Yeah, that's where they'll put me in the ground. And this is where I'll raise my kids, just the way my old man did, before the grace of God live out in this American one-horse town.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. On the phone with me from Belton, Texas, Mitch Connell, and having a lot of fun. Mitch is a car guy. What was the first car you owned? You remember back that far?
I sure do. It was a 66 Chevy Caprice two-door. It was SS396. It had automatic on the floor. It was turquoise with a blacktop.
Oh, man. That's so much fun. My dad put me, my first car in high school was a 65 Chevy two-door. It wasn't an SS or anything. It was just a old white 65 Chevy two-door that the man down the street traded in, and before I really had a driver's license, which kind of in a small town that's kind of the way it went, but everybody got a car so mom dad wouldn't have to take you to school or whatever. But we were flying down 83 in that thing, and it starts vibrating, and I think it's going to come apart, and we get to the shoulder of the road, and I had one lug nut left on it.
And they write songs about that, and something about Pappy says, son, you're going to drive me to drinking.
That's it. And I did. So that's another story for another program. But anyway, always fun to visit with a car guy. Another guy you co-wrote quite a few with, actually. We'll try to get a few of these in here. It's a guy named James Land. Talk about James a little bit, Mitch.
Well, James has got that kind of voice where if he sang the phone book, it would hit number one. And I met him when he was actually, I'd left Granger's band, but I went to go watch him play in Austin, and James was his opening act. He also owned the bus, and so he was the bus driver too. Well, I went over there and I watched him sing, and he sang very well, and next thing you know, we're writing music, and finally got around to recording it. Came out with an album called Everydayers, and it so far had 3 or 4 number ones on it.
Wow, that's a good run. So you were with Granger for 5 years, and then were you just in the studio mostly with Mark Allen Atwood, or did y'all do some touring as well?
I played a few shows with him, but I was already kind of retired from the touring scene.
Okay.
But I was still helping Granger make his records. I made records with him all the way up into Remington, which was his number one hit, national number one hit was on that record, but I didn't play that song, but just a couple of songs on it.
Well, I know, and I referred to that podcast earlier, but if anybody wants to go check out that Granger Smith podcast, tell me the name of that one again so people can, because that's got some great stories on it.
Okay, it's called Why Can't I Remember, and you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, so.
Granger Smith podcast, and then Why Can't I Remember.
A lot of fun to listen to that. Some really good stories on it, and so our listeners may want to go check that out. But we'll get back to James Land here. You say you met him and then ended up co-writing with him. Talk a little more about that.
Well, I had never written before, and so we wrote a song, and he would come over, I believe it was every Tuesday, because he lived north of Waco, so he would come over, and we'd spend 2 or 3 hours writing, and he'd spend the night and then go back the next morning, and he was actually cleaning and fixing swimming pools. That was his day job. So, but we wrote probably 8 or 10 songs, and 5 of them made it onto this record.
Wow, that's good. So this record that has all the hits on it, where did you guys record that?
Well, we recorded some of it, most of it in Austin at the Compound.
Okay.
A guy named Kent Andre.
All right.
Who used to drum for Kevin Fowler. He has a studio down there, and we recorded most of it there.
A lot of real, I mean, there's just a ton of good musicians down there. It's, to me.
Oh, yes. We had a guy named David Grissom on guitar who played for John Mellencamp.
Wow.
So that guitar work that you find on the on this Everydayers record is quite good.
Yeah, as good as anything you're going to listen to. It's just the whole music industry, and you know very well, I mean, there's a ton of good musicians and how you can fight your way through all that and get to the top on whether it's the Texas regional charts or whether it's, you know, some Nashville charts or whatever it is. It's pretty incredible to make that journey like Granger Smith has done and Mark Allen and James Land. I mean, that's got to be a ton of work to get yourself to that point where you finally get on those charts and get people listening to your music. Do you know a little bit about how some of the process that it takes to make that happen?
I learned it when we were doing Granger's music. You know, I basically am not interested in doing it unless it strikes a chord with me creatively. And the way Granger was putting his music together piece by piece kind of showed me how I'd like to put it together. He did it differently than we did it with Mark Atwood. His was all digital, and Mark Atwood's was all analog to digital. We went through an analog tape and then on to digital, but we played piece by piece. Granger put a guitar and vocal track, and he would get them perfected, and then they would put, say, the drums down, and then they'd put the bass down, and then guitar, and then me.
So then you've got a really good record, and then you got to figure out how to get people to start giving you some spins, huh?
Right. You know, he's a kind of a bashful guy, so he didn't really do that well in the promoting it himself. So he had a girl that did it for him, and she did a very good job. I think we had five or six number one hits by the time he moved on up the chain, the food chain, to the mainstream country music.
And you're talking about Granger here?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Then with James Land, with the stuff you co-wrote, talked about him coming down and spending an evening with you and you guys writing. And was that a process of a few weeks before you guys got enough put together to go into the studio?
Actually, it was a few years.
Okay, that's probably, what I was curious about.
It probably took 3 years to put that whole record together because he moved to Nashville for a time and he wrote a few songs with some other guys up there. As a matter of fact, you may want to interview him. He'd be a great interview for you.
Hey, that'd be good. We always love to hear from the Texas guys, and it's amazing to me how many of them have been a lot in our area that have started out here and gone either east to Nashville or out to California and then to Nashville and then have done really well. So always some great stories there. We want to do one of these. We'll get some more music in here. There's one called Where I Go, and it's by James Land, and you helped him co-write this. Talk about it a little bit.
Well, that was the first song that I wrote. It was my brainchild, and we wrote it in one day. And it's about a place where you go to, you know, meditate, feel closer to God, whatever, you know, wherever you want to be alone and feel better or whatever. And so when we recorded it, you know, was using a phone and my piano, and James was still traveling with Granger, so he played it for him, and Granger came up with the second verse in that song. So he actually wrote the second verse of that, Where I Go. And probably took 2 years later, we recorded it, and now it's on a record. But that's my favorite song he's done, but we haven't released it to radio. They say it's not country enough. I'm not sure. You can tell me what you think after you've listened to it.
Well, and what's not country enough anymore? I mean, it's,
well, that's right.
Some of the stuff I hear on the radio, and I'm, you know, hey, if people make it and people want to buy it and listen to it, I'm all for them. I just, I enjoy more of the traditional country sound, but that's just me. Let's listen to Where I Go by James Land, co-written by Mitch Connell. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more Lyrics and Legends.
There's a place that you can go when you want to be alone. It's near a beach or a park. It don't have to be that far. You know you've been there once or twice. You've got that look in your eyes. I bet you go to not be found. Have nobody else around. Clear your mind and pave the way. You can go there today. Yeah, I've got that kind of place. It's where I go when I'm feeling bad. It's where I go when I'm feeling good. It's where I go when I'm missing. for another day. There's a story on your face, it don't take words to say. Whatever it might be, I know just what you need. Just close your eyes and speak the truth. You'll be surprised what it can do. I'm no stranger to that too. It's where I go when I'm feeling bad. It's where I go when I'm feeling good. It's where I go when I'm misunderstood. Down on my knees and pray, I thank God for another day. It's where I go when I'm feeling bad. It's where I go when I'm feeling good. It's where I go when I'm misunderstood. It's where I go when I'm feeling wrong. It's where I go when I'm feeling right. And when I get there, I don't waste any time. It's where I go when I'm feeling bad. It's where I go when I'm feeling good. It's where I go when I'm misunderstood. It's where I go when I'm feeling wrong. It's where I go when I'm feeling right. And when I get there, I don't waste. God for another day. I thank God for another day. It's near a beach or a park. You don't have to be that far. No, it don't have to be that far. I've seen that look in your eyes. It's right there.
The program's Lyrics and Legends, and we're having a lot of fun talking to a car guy who happens to be a musician. Or is it the other way around, Mitch?
The car business supports my music habit.
that's kind of like the car business supports my radio habit. But there you go. And then I do get to play music occasionally, too, which I don't ever want to figure out how much I make per hour doing that. That's kind of minimum wage would probably be better, but.
Yeah, don't forget to deduct the cost of all the gear that you had to purchase.
That's it. There's where the key is. Yeah, you got to make sure you get all those deductions in. You had a number one hit with James Land on the Texas Regional Radio Report. That's pretty awesome that you co-wrote that. And I don't know how many. That's pretty rare error. I don't know how many people can say they've had a number one hit on a co-write on a song. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it was we had been writing for several weeks and he brought in this idea, and I don't remember how it came together exactly, but it came together in one day. And what we did on that one was play it on the piano, and he sang it. It got as good a recording as we could, sent it to the studio, and they sent back a rhythm track, and we handled the vocals here in my house. So we put the music bed down, and we just handled vocals here.
All right. And Watered Down Whiskey... Talk about the song a little bit, just what...
Well, the gal that they're talking about in Watered Down Whiskey is the Temptress. And you know what? It's the same gal that's in the song you're going to hear later called The Devil's Red Hot Sauce. Same villain. I don't know what do you call a female villain, but she's the same girl in both songs. So, anyways, she's Watered Down Whiskey. She ain't the real thing.
My... my engineer over here mouthed the word, but I don't think we can say it on the radio.
Let's keep it PG, man.
That's right. We got listeners here. So we're going to listen to Watered Down Whiskey by James Land, co-written by Mitch Connell. We'll be back in just a few minutes and probably have time for upcoming the Department of Shameless Plugs. We'll be back right after this.
Seem like the belle of the ball. Midst those dark rooms with neon signs, she's the smoke that wraps up your mind, that drifts away in the morning light. She don't care what your story is, she's only in it for the night. Another shot and your memory fades of that ring on your left hand. She's watered down whiskey, she ain't the real thing. She's not the one waiting at home that you gave that ring. Yeah, she's watered down whiskey, she ain't the real thing. She'll take away all the good, she'll leave you in pain. She's watered. May be a little rough at home, she makes you feel like a brand new man. Just remember there's a line you're crossing, the one on your left hand. She's watered down whiskey, she ain't the real thing. She's not the one waiting at home that you gave that ring. Yeah, she's watered.
Program's Lyrics and Legends, and we're wrapping up another good one. Got a hold of a car guy and a musician. What more can you ask for? I mean, if you owned a pizza place or something, it might, you know, that may wrap it up. It'd probably be happy then, but.
Well, I am getting kind of hungry.
Yeah.
You caught me right at dinner time.
I know. We have a tendency to do that, but we kind of figured out these evenings midweek are the best time to catch people because they're not on the road or whatever. So I do want to thank you for taking a break and holding off eating for just a little bit. Mitch Connell on the phone with us from Belton, Texas. And we got this segment that we call, I got to do this ominous voice, called The Department of Shameless Plugs, where we give you 90 seconds, 3 minutes, whatever you want to do to talk about anything you want to share about your music. Talk about that dealership. Let people know where you're at. Talk about your wife, family, whatever you want to do. The microphone's yours, Mitch.
I appreciate it. Well, I want to plug the song because it's the newest song. We just dropped it last Monday. It's called Devil's Red Hot Sauce by James Land. I'm very proud of it, and because I co-wrote it. Secondly, I'd like to plug my car dealership in Killeen, Texas. It's called Freedom Country, and we handle Dodge and Ram and Jeep and Fiat and Chrysler. So freedomcountry.com. And my wife is a supermodel. And
does
so
your wife
that.
Have a
and
pilot's license?
She does, yeah. She takes me to the gigs from time to time.
Wow, that's cool. Sounds like you hit the...
She's my chauffeur. She used to drive the bus when we first started using a bus in Granger's Bend. She used to drive the bus, but now she flies me.
So sounds like you hit the lottery on the wife department, huh?
I did. I married over my head.
Which is going to lead us up to this song you just plugged. Talk a little bit about Devil's Red Hot Sauce, and we're going to have to wrap up another episode.
Devil's Red Hot Sauce is about another... You know what? Who's trying to wreck your home, and you shouldn't have been in that beer joint chasing her around anyway. So that's what this song is about. She's the devil's red hot sauce, and she'll get to you. You just wait and see. If you're easily tempted, you're going to fall prey to this woman.
And there you go. We're going to listen to Devil's Red Hot Sauce. We're going to be back to wrap up Lyrics and Legends with Mitch Connell from Belton, Texas. We'll be back right after this.
She walks into the room and she turns their heads. They don't know what they're dealing with. Yeah, she's a ball of fire in that red sundress. After just one taste, you'll know what she is. She's the devil's red hot sauce. Yes, she'll make you feel the pain. She's the devil's red hot sauce. Oh, she'll get to you. Still feel the flames long after she's through. Well, she knows what she's doing, but she doesn't care. Yeah, she'll bring tears to your eyes. She's the devil's disciple, and she'll feed you lies. She's divine at first, but then you realize she's the devil's red hot sauce. Yes, she'll make you feel the pain. She's the devil's red hot sauce. Oh, she'll get to you, you'll still feel the flame. She's through.
back with Erickson Legends. Uncle Mitch Connell on the phone. Hey, man, thank you for letting us interrupt your supper and visit with you and get to find out a little more about the music. And if you want to tell one wild story on Troy Gandy while we're on the air, you think we can get away with anything? Or?
Well, yeah, I got a funny story on him. You know, I met Troy on a pheasant hunt in Minnesota, of all places.
Wow.
And it was cold. It was in the, you know, beginning of November, and it's already really cold up there. And we were walking through a field looking for these birds, and he stepped into a mud puddle that got him wet all the way up to his waist. And he was miserable the rest of the day. And it was 10 degrees with a north wind of 20 knots, and it's just, he was miserable. Poor guy.
That's funny. You know, Troy's a great guy, and his dad also lived here in Shamrock. One of the things they loved to do was hunt and fish. They had an annual dove hunt up here up until the last year or whenever, when the weather got where they couldn't get the birds or whatever. But anyway, shout out to Troy for hooking us up. I want to give him thanks for putting us together. Mitch, want to thank you for giving us time to visit with you, and sure want you to have fun out on the road and enjoy selling cars, and hope we get to meet you face-to-face one of these days real soon.
I'd like that. I had a great time, and thanks for having me on your show.
All right. Talk to you again soon. Thanks, Mitch.
You bet.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with Gary Ware. Join us next time on the Legends Radio Network.